In Jesus' name, amen. Something is different. Something has changed. It's almost imperceptible, and you can't really put your finger on it. But something is different. Things are not the same today as they were only yesterday in our text. Something is different. It seems like only yesterday that Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry, and immediately he was baptized, and immediately he was tempted, and immediately he began casting out demons, and immediately he was healing. Jesus was surrounded by crowds of people who thronged around him and said the most amazing things. And Peter has given an amazing confession. You are the Christ. It's been a thrilling, exciting, non-stop, action-packed ride for the last couple of years for the disciples following Jesus. But now, something is different. Something has changed. Excitement and popularity used to be in the air. But now the feeling in the air has more rejection and suffering. It seems like only yesterday that Jesus was healing the sick and preserving life. But now, Jesus is talking about death. And not just any death, his death. The text says Jesus spoke openly about this. He said that it is necessary that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and be killed, and on the third day rise again. Jesus spoke openly about this, and something is different. Something has changed. And it's too much for poor St. Peter to handle. Up until now in Jesus' ministry, things had been going in a way that somewhat made sense. Now, of course, Peter hadn't fully understood all of the miracles that Jesus was doing. Peter hadn't fully understood all of the things that Jesus was saying and teaching. But for the most part, they had made sense. So far, basically, Jesus was doing the type of thing that the Christ was supposed to be doing. In fact, up until now, if Jesus had been calling the shots instead of or if Peter had been calling the shots instead of Jesus, and he would have loved to have been doing that, I'm sure, things would have gone very much in the same way. Peter would have loved to have been calling the shots, because if Peter had been a Frank Sinatra fan, he would have loved this song that Sinatra used to sing. Part of the song goes like this. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Can you almost hear Peter's voice singing this song? And more, much more than this, Jesus did it my way. And so Peter is thinking, the miracles, the crowds, the excitement, this stuff works. Keep that going, but banish all of this crucifixion talk. That's never gonna work. Jesus, stay in tune with the Sinatra song. And more, much more than this, Jesus, do it my way. Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind not the things of God, but the things of men. Something has changed. Something is different. Jesus doesn't sing Sinatra, and he doesn't let Simon Peter do it either. Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind not the things of God, but the things of men. We know those words by heart, don't we? We should, because so often we fall into the same error that Simon Peter fell into. All too often we have in mind not the things of God, but the things of men. All too often we want to follow Jesus, but we want to follow him where we think that he should be leading us. We want to follow him like he was leading in the earlier chapters of Mark. We want to follow him when there's excitement, where there are healings, where there's miracles, non-stop action, immediate excitement and enjoyment. That's where we want to follow Jesus. And so we want to follow Jesus out into a congregation on a call. And whether that call comes in 3 weeks, I believe 3 weeks from today to be specific, not that we're counting, or in 3 years, or wherever it may be, I have a suspicion that each one of us has in mind a dream ideal type of congregation. Now whether we fully tell the dean what this dream congregation is, that's a different story. But we each have one. And I suspect that our dream congregation looks an awful lot like the crowds that were following Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. Immediate ministry. A ministry that's filled with excitement and action. Preaching sermons where our congregation hangs eagerly on each and every thrilling word of our sermons. A congregation that is so packed that if latecomers arrive, they have to dig a hole in the roof and lower themselves down so they can find the last seat in the balcony because the narthex is so full that they can't get in through the door. That's the type of congregation that we want. That's the type of congregation we're looking for, isn't it? Because there is an awful lot of Sinatra and a lot of Simon Peter in us also. We also would like to be singing these words. I did it my way. We would love to look back on our ministry in a congregation and say that the congregation did things our way. We want to go to a congregation that respects us, a congregation that agrees with us. We want to go to a congregation that teaches the way that we teach, that evangelizes the way that we evangelize, that builds the way that we build, that worships the way we worship, whether that involves praise bands or copes, chasubles, and incense. We want to look back and look at our congregation and sing this song and say, and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind not the things of God, but the things of men. And all too often, we, with Peter, do fall into that trap of having in mind not the things of God, but the things of men. But Jesus doesn't sing the Sinatra song that we want to sing. He doesn't let Simon Peter sing Sinatra, and he doesn't let us do it either. But we, like Peter, want to do things according to our own plan. And in our own plan, we want to take suffering out of that plan. And if we want to do things according to our own plan, we also have, maybe way back in the recesses of our mind, but it's there, that we can do things according to our plan. In fact, there are times when we want Jesus to work himself into our plan. We want Jesus to run his church the way we think it should be run, and that doesn't include suffering. It didn't include suffering for Peter, not in his plan. And so he tries to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. Perhaps if we try to trace the thoughts of Peter, they might look something like this. Well, if we try to work out our own plan, then maybe things really aren't so bad after all. And if we can work out our own plan, then maybe we can work out our own salvation. And so maybe our sin isn't really that bad after all. Maybe Jesus doesn't need to die for our sin. And so Jesus has to rebuke Peter because Peter turns to him and tries to prevent the crucifixion. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. We, like Peter, try to keep in mind the things of men all too often. But Jesus, from this point on in his ministry, begins revealing more and more clearly the things in the mind of God. And the things in the mind of God include suffering. And so Jesus in the text says that it is necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and to be rejected and to be killed, and on the third day to rise again. Now, of course, Jesus has in mind the things of God, and he realizes that there is only one way, and in the mind of God, sin is sin, and sin must be punished, and it must be punished with death. And so things are different. Things have changed. From here on in Jesus' ministry, there would be fewer miracles, fewer healings, smaller crowds, and more suffering. Much more suffering. And much more talk of death. Because Jesus had in mind the things of God. Now, of course, God's plan had included suffering and crucifixion from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It just becomes more and more apparent now. Before, the people hadn't gotten it. In fact, the people still don't get it. The people never get it. But the cross is the center of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus says, it is necessary for the Son of Man to suffer and be rejected and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Well, Jesus says it was necessary, but he never said that this was easy to accept. It wasn't easy for Peter to accept. It's not easy for us to accept. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, even Jesus agonized over accepting it. Even Jesus prayed, if it is possible, let this hour pass. But Jesus knew that there was only one way, and that was the Father's way. And so, yes, he prayed, let this cup pass from me. But he also prayed, yet not what I will, but what you will. And so Jesus goes to the cross. It doesn't make sense to human minds. It didn't make sense to Peter's mind. It doesn't make sense to my mind, and I dare say it doesn't make sense to your mind either. But for lives to be saved, your life and my life, Jesus' life is lost. Jesus fulfills the passion prediction that he makes in our text for today. He is rejected. He's rejected in the coming year by increasing numbers, with increasing vehemence, even violence. And he suffers. He suffers at the hands of the guards of the chief priest as they spit on him and as they strike him. He suffers at the hands of Pilate's soldiers as they flog him and crown him with thorns. He dies. And he dies the most agonizing, the most forsaken death, because he dies for us. And now, there is Jesus hanging dead on the cross. And this is the center of Jesus' ministry. And now, only now, is the fullness of God's plan of salvation revealed. And now, only now, when the price is paid, is the full extent of our sin known. Before, there were miracles, and there were healings, and there was excitement, and there were crowds. But now, there is Jesus hanging dead on a cross. And this is the center of Jesus' work. The cross. The cross has been his focus all along. And in this Lenten season, and in fact in every season, the cross is to be the center of our focus also. Turn your eyes away from the crowds. Turn your eyes away from prosperity and popularity. Turn your eyes away from the things of men to the things of God. Turn your eyes away from seeing yourself work out your own salvation. And turn your eyes to seeing your salvation hanging dead on a cross. Look to Jesus. Follow him. Don't try to lead into a path of glory. Instead, follow him in the way of the cross. Something has changed. Something is different. It's almost imperceptible, and you can't exactly put your finger on it. But things are different today than they were only yesterday. It seems like only yesterday that Jesus was doing miracles and healing and causing excitement. But now, things are different. Things have changed. Jesus has predicted his death, and things are different. Things have changed. From our perspective, Jesus has died on that cross, and things are different. Things have changed. Jesus has risen from the grave, and things are different. Things have changed. Jesus, by thinking the things of God, has changed everything. And so now, there's no more thinking the things of men. Instead, one thinks the things of God. Now, there is no room to sing that Sinatra song, "I did it my way." Jesus doesn't sing Sinatra. He didn't let Simon Peter sing Sinatra, and he doesn't let us do it either. You see, it's not about Sinatra. It's not about Peter. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so things are different. Things are better. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And we have been forgiven. And it all happened not by thinking the things of men, but the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.